Good morning. Welcome to this Antioch, Wichita live stream. For those of you who may not know me, I am Rob Danz. I am the pastor here, part of a great family who essentially, if you're going to whittle us down to a few phrases, we just believe in the God of restoration, that God can take anybody from any broken point and bring them not only into salvation and freedom from their junk, but he also uses those same people in transformation to go after others. That is our heart and our purpose is just a passion for whatever Jesus wants, his purposes in the earth. And so we are so glad you're here. If you're new, we would encourage you to go on our website, check us out. You can fill out a contact card there, a digital contact card. You can also get that off our app so we can know a little bit more about you and we can include you in on some of our church resources and communication. So welcome and good morning. And so we're in like 6 weeks to this ordeal of this coronavirus thing. Isn't that crazy? And so I have been blown away and also frustrated at times, but here's the deal. Like, it's not stopping anytime soon. I know people are getting antsy, and here's the deal. We can just stop and trust God and exhale and breathe in his grace to know that we're okay in the hands of God. And regardless of what happens externally, internally, and eternally, we're covered forever. And so I hope you know that. As I've been praying, just to come and chat with you this morning, I've just been praying, God, what is your direction for us in the season as far as preaching and teaching? Lord, we want to make sure we cover everybody, and we know we have new folks streaming in. And as I prayed, I just felt like the Lord just speak to my heart, essentially just saying, stick with what you know. And as I thought about that and prayed into it, like, all right, God, what does that mean? Stick to what we know is just this. We, as a church of 12 and a half, going on 13 years old, however, I think we're 13 in November. But here's the deal. We are a group of folks as a church and now a part of the Antioch movement. And we're so honored to be a part of the Antioch movement. But from our inception, we have been about walking with and being busted people from deep, deep, deep broken places into newness and restoration in Jesus. And over the years, we've seen so many blessings, so many testimony services of God's grace. I encourage you to go back and listen to some of our testimony services, and just be blown away. And we have people from all over the place. We're an urban church, but our suburbanites are just as transformed as our urbanites. And unfortunately, for a time there, we got so overwhelmed with brokenness. We went from a place of, a place of healing for broken people to kind of be in the broken place. And so we've been on this journey to walk out of that in freedom. When you have so many people in need of Jesus and restoration, if you don't have enough people that are healthy, you're in a place to willing to turn that around, it gets cumbersome. And I'm so glad that we're just starting to see a lot of breakthrough in healthy people being able to walk with other people through destruction. But here's the deal. We know, and I keep saying this over the last 6 weeks, we were made for this season. And I am not kidding. Like, we are wired for a time as this. We've always talked about that we are there, and when we see or just get a scent of the brokenness of people, we have been brought through. And God has brought us through, and he wants to use that. He wants to use you, no matter where you're from, to walk out of your brokenness by the power of salvation in him and through his Holy Spirit. And he wants to use you to bring other people out. Listen, everybody's security just got rocked. All the people that are many, and I know there's still some that are living in the world just waiting for this thing to be over. So many people, their financial security is rocked. Their health security is rocked. Their ability to be where they want to be, go where they want to go, their freedoms and those things at the moment is rocked. There are people that are broken all over the place. And it's not sadistic or jacked jacked up, but honestly, y'all, this is what the kingdom of God still being here is for, to bring light, to bring restoration for you at home and for me to shed the light of Jesus online or through people we meet, to bless people, to financially give the whole people up through this season. Honestly, coronavirus is horrible, but honestly, it's, I hate to say this, it's not the end of the world, and it's definitely not the end of the church. And I will say this, this is our time to shine, y'all. Listen, the worst thing we could do, the most horrible thing we could do through this coronavirus thing is come out of it with a, woo, we made it, and we didn't learn or get or grab or grow into what God had for us in this season. It is just like 9/11. We saw so many people flooding back to Jesus, flooding to the church. And what happened all these years later? Where is everybody? When things go back to normal, and there'll be a new normal, but we'll go back to being where what we've been in a lot of ways. And I pray not. I pray that there's revival. It will be easy to slip back in to the patterns of this world. And we don't want that. We want to shine now. We want to be drastically changed now. And we want to be people who rush in into the destruction of people's lives. Listen, I was just thinking about my wife and I. We, and many of you have heard our stories, and there's other chapters that you haven't heard and stuff even going on right now. But just over the years, just me personally dealing with just like broken family issues, coming from a broken home and bullying. And, you know, when I was 15, going on 16, I remember I lost one of my best friends in a car wreck, and my life was shattered. My wife and I, when we first got married, we lost our first baby in utero. She miscarried pretty far along, and it just crushed our hearts. We had stuff in our marriage that are in from affairs and from all this kind of stuff, destruction in our marriage in just some of the worst days of my life. I've been a part of church hurt. We've been a part of this church for the last 12, 13 years where we've walked with people and experienced our own brokenness into such depths that that would steal your heart away. I've just sat across from my own family and from myself and from families in this church, and have just had the hardest conversations and just grabbing on to the tassel of Jesus's robe and making it through with him. Like, we know what it is to suffer. You know what it is to suffer. Even recently, we just had a conversation this week in my family of stuff that's come up from the past, and some things with our inner core of our family that honestly, sometimes it just makes me want to tap out. But we don't, because we know, and why seasons like this are a blessing, we know that this is not our home. We know scripturally this is temporary. We know that anything we give up and what we do for the kingdom of God and the gospel on this earth will be with reward in heaven. We know that if we live out for Jesus and we are faithful servants, we will be with him. And all this will be over. Y'all, one of the worst things we battled through in our nation for so many years is, you know, this is a great life. I love it. And there are a lot of beautiful blessings that come from the Lord. But this is not it, church. This is just temporary. And if it's taken a pandemic to challenge our hearts, then so be it. And thank God that he is challenging our hearts through this season. And so even though sometimes I want to tap out, because it seems like sometimes all I could see is like destruction and brokenness in people's lives. And sometimes I literally feel like I'm sitting in smoke and ashes after something has blown up. And here's the deal. Times like this are going to happen. I know not everybody on here's battling and dealing with stuff that's so heavy, but I do know that in this season, people are dealing with some heavy, heavy stuff that they're not used to dealing with. And if it's not coming, it just comes. There's going to be phone calls that you don't want. There are going to be pandemics in the future. There's going to be violence. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. All those things, those are biblical things. Those things continue on. But here's the deal. I've come to completely understand, and many of you have too, that not life is not about being out of the ashes. God does pull us up out of the ashes, absolutely. But he also leaves us here empowered in the midst of the ashes. Why? Because he has a plan for us. There are such valuable things that we learn when we come up out of ashes and we look around and the smoke's still settling and things are still clearing and it seems like destruction, but we pat ourselves off and we say, whoa, I'm still here. Some of the most valuable teaching things in my life that I've gotten from Jesus have not been through the best days of my life. And I've had good days. I've held my babies and wept and sang songs over them when they were born. And Jesus loves me and blessed them and seeing them. I'm married to a beautiful woman who's the God's heart for restoration. I've had good days. And God has been good and I learned a lot. But where I learned his most intimate heart and touch for me is when I've gone through hell on earth. And I would not trade that for anything in the world. Because now when seasons like this come and there's the ashes and destruction of coronavirus and stuff, and it's serious. My heart breaks for people who are losing family and losing jobs and you know, don't know what they're going to do for their next meal. And we're trying to take care of our own and figure out how to do that. But here's the deal. Like, we're okay. We are still standing in the grace of God. Like, he's with us. This thing is horrible, but it's an opportunity for us in the ashes to see something beautiful. Believers get pulled from the ashes and God leaves them in the ash pile, not as broken pieces of substance, but he leaves us there to be restorers and to help others. And he leaves us there in the midst of this world where there's broken. We can't avoid this thing. But he's teaching us, he's loving us. And what God does out of the ashes, y'all, what he's done out of the ashes have been the sweetest times of intimacy for many of us. And many of you know that. Many of you are learning that right now. And it's not morbid to talk like this. Read the scriptures. Paul and Peter, they were preaching and teaching and leading. And the epistles were written to men and women who were suffering, who were going through stuff or were going to go through stuff. They suffered themselves. The scripture is about a God who doesn't just save you from never having to go through an accident where you get into ashes, but he's the God that brings us out. He's the God that brings us through. He's the God that's always with us in the storm. And so when we think about this, the big question for a lot of us is, and a lot of people on the face of the earth is, why? If God's so good, and we've talked about this a lot over the last number of weeks, if God's so good, why is this happening? The answer is honestly pretty simple. The faith part of it is you have to believe. But in Genesis 2:17, the scriptures say, but you must not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This is the Lord. It was just Adam and Eve in perfection with him. It says, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Brokenness, right after this, we know that Adam and Eve, they sin. First time, they eat of this thing that God told them not to. And then curse comes, self-inflicted curse that man put on himself that we are all connected to. We are sinners in our core. And so because of sin, listen, if you want to be angry at the source of cancer and at the source of coronaviruses and at the source of death and murder and homelessness, God is not the one to blame. What has happened is because of the sin of man, those things have come in. That's why a good God is ours, because he delivers us from that stuff in this. It is not eternal. It is momentary. We go on with him forever. We have the Holy Spirit of God now. Bad things happen because of what man has done. And God and God alone is good because he's the only one who can bring us out of a self-inflicted curse. Attack came from that day, from the devil, from our flesh. Destruction came from that day. And so here's the deal though. Knowing Jesus, having him, we are called to be faithful in all things. And we look at the scriptures in Colossians 3:17, it says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, everything. And so how do you do ashes? You know, so if I'm supposed to be faithful and I'm supposed to be giving God glory, how do I do ashes in the name of Jesus, just like the text said, and give thanks to God the Father through him, through a journey? And here's the deal. We're just going to talk about this a little bit today. God reveals these amazing things to us when we're standing in ashes. We can do this. We're not only kind of needing to do this, we're called to do this, and even more so than we're called to do this, he's equipped us to do this. He has equipped you and me in the middle of seasons like this, in the middle of seasons of destruction, broken families, abuse, all of it. God has equipped us to be rescuers in the midst of ashes, and God is teaching us enormous things in the midst of these ashes. And so, what do we do when we're standing in these ashes? What happens when we're standing in ashes? Here's the first one I want to share with you. God is revealing to us through the ashes that ashes don't overcome us. You know what's great about standing up out of destruction and wiping ashes off and noticing that you're still standing there? You're still standing there. You're okay. God has pulled you through. And one of the things he's teaching us in an enormous way that we can teach others is this, is we're not overcome by the ashes. The Lord is the overcomer. We look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 7 through 12. It says this. This is the rocky verse. Hey, Adrian. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life is in you. Powerful words from Paul. I mean, it talks about our fragility and our strength in Jesus Christ. We look at this. What is this treasure at the beginning of this? It says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. The treasure is the gospel. The treasure is the power of the kingdom. It's the life of God in us, the spirit of God in us. Inside of what? Jars of clay, things that can be broken, things that need to be held together, things that need the hand of God to hold us together. And is why it says, so we can give glory to God and not to ourselves. So as we rise up out of ashes and we're standing there, the point is this, not, whoa, I made it through another really crappy ordeal. The point is this, woo, God has pulled me through and I could have been dead or I could have been shattered and I could have been broken, but I am not, I'm afflicted, but I'm not crushed. I'm perplexed, but I'm not driven to despair. I'm persecuted, I'm not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Dave Guzik had this great quote. It says, why did God choose risky earthen vessels instead of safe heavenly ones? It's a great question. Because perfect vessels are safe, but bring glory to themselves, earthen vessels are risky, but can bring profound glory to God. We have to remember the scriptures and what it says about God's strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. But in our weakness, we are still standing, and the ashes and the destruction have not overcome us. Ashes or the things that bring the ashes have never conquered the people of God. Paul was continually sitting in the middle of ashes, praising and serving God in prison and under great affliction. And those things were true for him, and those things are true for us. We are still here. You might be standing in ashes, but you're still standing. And that is God's grace. Here's the second one that we can learn and glean from in this season of ashes is this. He reveals that we can find our strength in him. And so strength in me leads me into more ash piles caused by myself. But through this, when we look and we're so overwhelmed by the world, so overwhelmed by hurt and destruction and fear, what do? We can't muster this up on our own. This is pushing us towards, in the ashes, towards God's strength. I love this text about King David in 1 Samuel 30, 1 through 6. Now David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day. The Amalekites had made a raid against the Negev and against Ziklag. They had overcome Ziklag and burned it with fire, and taking captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great, they killed no one but carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. And then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. So the kids gone, families gone, cities gone, they wept. And then David's two wives had also been taken captive, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. They were blaming David, right? Because all the people were bitter in their soul, each for his sons and daughters. But listen, this is what this said. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. All this calamity is coming around David. His wives, his children are gone, city's gone, his own people want to destroy him. Instead of standing in the ashes and just collapsing, David does something that should teach us all the most valuable lesson of going through, and that's this: the Lord is our strength. The Lord is the only place where we will find peace and power to be able to do these things in the midst of ashes. The psalmist says in Psalm 28:7, he says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him." How is he our strength? Our strength is his strength. Only he brings life and health and restoration, freedom and peace and love. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." He's our protector. He's our covering. He's the one that through the Spirit gives us the power to get up day by day and to walk into dark places and to be the light. And we get there by just trusting him, by being in his presence, in his word is our strength, in prayer, just speaking with the King of heaven and listening, you in his face, calling out for help, holding on to his promises, God's promises to pull us through, give us strength, and renewing our mind and what real strength is. It's not about being studly men and women. It's not about knowing everything there is to know. It's about this, him. He's the source. He is our power. 2 Corinthians 12:8-10 says this: "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this." Familiar passage with Paul pleading with the Lord that it should leave me. He has this affliction. And he says, but he said to me, God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecution, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." There's this thing wrong with Paul. Everybody argues about what it is. And there's something that is driving him nuts. And he's pled with the Lord. And the Lord says, "Look, my grace is sufficient for you." This is a tool. This is an opportunity for us to remember coronavirus. This is not something to be laughed at. It's enormous, and we can't just make it go away. We're praying for revival. We're praying for healing, and God is bringing those things. But in the end, nothing in our own strength is going to make it go away. Nothing in our own strength is going to make a new job appear in our own. That's all him. Nothing is going to heal our bodies. It's him, and this is a thorn that God is not taking away at the moment, but it is an opportunity for us to learn his grace and his power, and that it is his power and his power alone. Amen? Here's the next one. Next point, in the ashes, what we're learning, what we're getting, what we should be sharing. He reveals hope in the fact that he makes beauty from ashes. God makes some of his best artwork out of ashes. I'm one of them. And so are you. Every one of you that are sitting there this morning, you've been turned around, and even if you're in the middle of it, nobody's arrived, y'all. We got to get off that train. But man, you're beautiful. God has made something beautiful out of your life. Out of the destruction of your life, he's made things beautiful. Isaiah 61:3, To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. That's the story of mankind. We brought on destruction. We set off the bomb. Now we sit in ashes, and up out of the ashes come God's people by his strong right hand. The Bible doesn't just contain some amazing beauty from ashes stories. Listen, it's all about beauty from ashes. It's the narrative of that very truth. The entire scripture is about God, Jesus, glorified Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, restoring his people and making beauty from ashes. This is why your testimonies are so powerful. I just weep sometimes when I go back and watch over some of your guys' testimonies. They are stories of beauty from ashes, and they're not done yet. And he's so good. And we just learn to praise him in these times. Here, the next one is that he's just teaching us, and I've already said this numerous times, but I want you to hear this verse. He's revealing things that we can't learn anywhere else but from the ashes. This is an odd verse in Proverbs 24, and I've talked about it before, but it's always challenged me a little bit, and I want to use it in the right context. But Proverbs 24, 30 through 34. So I passed through the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Listen to this, verse 32. Then I saw it and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Maybe the question is, why isn't this happening to me? But maybe the Lord is using this season. And so, by the way, he talks about going into the field of a sluggard. Sometimes, you know, the sluggard is that has left destruction in my life? Me. And sometimes in the middle of ashes, sometimes the only time in the middle of ashes, I can walk through and look at the destruction and look at the weeds and go around. And when he said, I saw it, number one, I have to see it for what it is. And then I considered it. It just translates this. I learned from it. I pondered it. If there are things about you in the middle of this season that are scaring the tar out of you, or they're destructive, or you're going to things that aren't of Jesus and your fear is overwhelming you, you can walk through this season, family, and you can learn from it, give it to God, and grow. You can grow. Real life isn't avoiding ashes. You're not going to be able to do that. But real life is living for Jesus up out of the ashes and learning and growing and being more like Jesus. And last but not least, the last point on this is just for today, is that in ashes, he just reminds us that these things are temporary. Where we are going, by his blood alone, the only way any of us are going to heaven, going to be with him in a new heaven and a new earth, new Jerusalem, new names, the only way we're going there is because of his free gift in Christ Jesus, because of his blood poured out for us. And so because of that, we can look around, and even though it feels like eternity, maybe you've gone through an entire life of brokenness, like many of us have. You have to know that it's temporary. Where we are going, there's no more tears, it says in Revelation, no more pain. He wipes away tears from our face, from our eyes, and there'll be no more mourning, no more death. And sometimes the blessing of ashes is that it's a reminder that heaven is our home. 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul says, for this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. This thing, listen, for those of us who are really worldly, those of us who are really clinging on to our bank accounts and to our jobs as our security, come on, you've been brought into the light, y'all. But it's a gift, because this momentary affliction should make you be reminded that this isn't our home. These things that we worship are not to be worshiped. That we want to be with Jesus more than anything ever. And it's going to be so far beyond anything we can ever ever imagine. This is temporary. God reveals things to us, amazing things to us, when we're standing in ashes. What's God teaching you? What's He saying to you? What's He singing over you in this season? We know what God does in Zephaniah 3. What is He doing? We must raise a flag of awareness and fight with everything we have not to just come out of this by the seat of our pants, barely making it through, and then going back to life as we know it. This is a blessing for us to be reminded that even though we're in ashes, we're still okay, that our strength is in Him, that this is momentary, that God is teaching us something so deep in this season, and He's so good. And He's with us right now. Lord, my prayer is for every one of us this morning who want to tap out, who will come into a season someday of tapping out, that God, we would be reminded that even though there's ashes on us and we might be standing in what looks like a total mess of destruction, this is a place of worship. This is a place of life. This is a place that is not what defines us. And this is the place that You have sent us in the middle of ashes to bring light into those who need to come up out of them. Lord, I pray for every man and woman and child watching this. If someone hasn't surrendered their lives to You today, that Jesus, they would hit their knee and just say, Jesus, I surrender. I believe. Lord, wash my sins with the blood of Jesus away. Be the Lord of my life, and I want to follow after You. And for the rest of us, Lord, who are following You, God, would You just renew our strength? God, would You remind us that even though this seems so heavy, You have us. We're not carrying this on our own. And that You're with us. And God, would You spark revival in Antioch, Wichita, in the city of Wichita, in our state, this nation, all of the Antioch church movement churches in the nations because of this thing. Jesus, thank You for our time together. Thank You for the opportunity we have to shine today. Thank You for beauty from ashes. Thank You for making us beauty from ashes. Lord, we love You in Jesus' name. Amen.